Isaiah chapter number 6. I'm thankful for young adults in our church. They don't have to be here. But they are. And you say, well, they were raised in church families and mom and dad would get mad at them, maybe, but they're here. And I thank the Lord for them. There's something that must happen in the life of a young person that is exciting and terrifying at the same time. What must happen to our young people as they're raised up in our homes and our families is come to that spot where this isn't about, I'm doing it because mom and dad want me to, but because I want to. Because it's mine. I desire that. And that's a thrilling time. One of the things that I love so much about going to camp is for young folks to get around those who have been their mentors and become adults around them. You know, some of these kids have raised up in our church and they have been in those different spots and they've graduated from high school and sometimes we still look at them as kids. And yes, they're young. Yes, they're adults. Yes, sometimes they act like kids. Sometimes I do too. I kind of like acting like a kid sometimes. And they do some goofy things. But it's exciting, especially there as we kind of gather around a lot of times and just kind of chat and they get around, you kind of get to know them another way. I had 5 teenagers with me this week and it's fun being around and listen to them, see them interact, see them doing different things. And sometimes being a pest. I'm thinking of one in particular on that one. But whatever. But the exciting thing is when they come to that spot where Jesus is important to them. Amen? When He becomes theirs. I love when I see that transpire in a life. We look at the story before us here, the text before us, and we see Isaiah. I believe he'd already been at that spot, but well, we see something happen here that literally transforms his life. And it is marvelous. I want to read chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 8-9 verses of this chapter. Beginning in verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. And he gave a message. Let's go to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for this tremendous text. Lord, I feel so inadequate to bring forth any of its truth. But Spirit of God, you're not. And you can enforce upon our hearts and teach our minds these wonderful truths. Lord, though we have looked at them before, and though we have read them before, yet there is marvelous, wondrous truth and remembrance that we can have in this Scripture. We pray for that tonight. We ask that you might bless in these moments. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. There's a truth that runs throughout the Word of God, and that is contact with the holiness of God brings people to a point of contrition, which simply means a remorse for our sins, a guilt over them, an earnest repentance, if you please, having a penitent heart. Let me remind you of Jacob. In the book of Genesis chapter 32, the Bible says, And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And he gave this reason, For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That day changed forever the life of Jacob. Moses in Exodus 33 verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Manoah, the father of Samson, you might remember the story. Manoah said to his wife, after the angel appeared, We shall surely die because we have seen God. Daniel in chapter 10, verse 1 says, Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, speaking of Peter, it says, When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which he had taken. God had just shown him his magnificent power. In the book of Revelation, John in chapter 1, verse 17 says, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. He records about the four beasts and the 24 elders in chapter number 4, verses 8 through 11, as I read. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Let me take time out. This is the same scene that Isaiah saw, but this is many years later. It tells me something. The holiness of God is proclaimed constantly in heaven. It goes on and says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." When you and I come into that contact of God, when we have those face-to-face encounters, there is something that takes place as we see the holiness of God. All of a sudden, we see who we really are. There is nothing that brings out our unholiness like the holiness of Almighty God. And yet all across our land there is very little contrition. There is far too much contentment and acceptance of sin. We find very few voices like Jonathan Edwards that preached that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Nothing wrong with the sermons, but perhaps most sermons and Christian books and radio and TV will deal with the victorious living. And thank God we can live victorious in Christ. But many of those who preach that, and many who are on the TVs and the radios, they tell us they will not confront the sin issue because it will turn off the listeners. But that must be dealt with first if we're going to have victory over sin, that we might have victory. Sin is no small issue with God. God's holiness is not a little issue. It's a big thing. His holiness, I believe, is huge in heaven as we see those seraphim speak of it over and over and over throughout all the ages of past. I believe yet at the present and on into the future. Nor do we find as we pick up our Bibles that holiness is not spoken of in the Word of God. He tells us many times, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." But I ask the question tonight, why do we get so detracted from the holiness of God? What is it that takes us away from it? What takes place? And I stop and I look and I consider, and probably the easiest way to consider things is look inwardly and to preach to myself and to say some things that I believe take place in all of our lives. Far too often, we do not have this concept of God because we are focused on other things. Our thoughts and our actions is not on the holiness of God far too much of the time. Too much of the time, it's upon ourselves. Too much of the time, it's upon other things. Movies and books and social media and all these things. And I'm not saying things wrong with that unless they get in our way of who God is. Run through our minds. I look here in chapter number 6 and I look at Isaiah and it seems to me like his mind was upon the Lord. It seems to me that he had his attention heavenward because that was how he was able to look at God and to see this wonderful scene in heaven. Our whole demeanor so often as we gather even for church services is, we're here. And we think about all the mundane things and all the other things. It's interesting to me that so I pick up my Bible and I look in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's interesting because 1 Corinthians is written to a group of folks whom God called carnal, not spiritual. But he says this later on in the book in chapter 14 and verse 26. He says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." And then he has to admonish them, "Let all things be done unto edifying." But they were coming with a desire to give some things. I wonder how often do we come with a revelation? And when I say we come with a revelation, do we come because God has revealed a wonderful truth from His Word and we're excited to tell a brother or sister about it? Or are we more excited to talk about other issues? Don't we come together? I mean, do we have a doctrine that God has given us and we've been considering it throughout the week and we're able to share that with another? Or a psalm that has just wonderfully blessed us? And perhaps the reason we don't get to this position and have this is because we allow our focus to go in other directions. I have learned painfully that I can change my focus. The Bible says and talks about different things that we ought to think about, and then He says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely and good report, He says, think on these things. That tells me evidently that I have the ability to change my focus from one thing to another. You would agree with me tonight, it's so easy to think about all the things that the rest of the world thinks about. It is so easy to listen to newscasts, to listen to the weather reports, to listen to this, to listen to that. And so often we don't have our focus where it is, or where it ought to be. I think it was Wednesday night, or Wednesday in the afternoon, we had some off time and brought the kids into our room. We just kind of sat around for a little while. And I told them this. I told them the number one problem that's at Open Door Baptist Church that I have seen for years and years and years. The number one problem I believe amongst God's people is that we do not take in enough of the Word of God that we might focus upon the right kinds of things. And we're far too willing to take in all the things of the world and not allow the Word of God to overtake us that we might have our focus in the right place. But not only that, I see something else. In Isaiah 6, we notice something. We notice that these seraphim, they cry, holy, holy, holy. We notice in verse number 4 that the voice is so deep and so resonating that the posts of the door move. I mean, you've heard things that just made your house shake. And that is what's taking place. And then in verse number 5, Isaiah says this, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. What happened? Isaiah had seen the Lord. He'd seen Him high and lifted up. He had seen the holiness of God. And now he recognizes who He is. You and I, we want to compare ourselves with each other. And we want to look at this one, we want to look at that one, and we want to compare ourselves, but really we need to look at God. And the picture we get after we look at God is not a very pleasant picture. He says, woe is me. And the reason He says that is for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But I want you to notice what took place. Verse number 6. Upon His recognition of this, one of the seraphim, it says, flew unto Him. And he had a live coal in his hand. This had been taken right off of the altar. And notice where it's laid in verse number 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I find it very interesting, the place where he puts the live coal. He didn't put it on his feet. He didn't put it on his hands. He didn't put it on his mind. He didn't put it on his heart. He put it on his lips. Very interesting to me. The purifying fire of God must come across our lips. And may I say, the purifying fire of God's Word. Jeremiah says, is not my Word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Our lips. You know, brethren, so often we look out at the world and we look at this and we look at that and we say, boy, that is horrible, that is terrible. We look at individuals walking by and they've done some crazy things to save their body. They got tattoos all over, they got piercings all over, they got rings hanging where rings ought not be hanging. And I mean, their hair is, who knows, only their hairdresser, well, everybody knows because of the way it looks. And we look and we say, what a shame. We look at the drug culture today and we look at those who are caught in this lifestyle and we think, boy, it's terrible what they've gotten caught into. We look round about at those who are caught up in the gangs and caught up in all these different things that are going on in the world and we think, boy, this is terrible. But isn't it interesting? Here's a man that is a prophet of God, and he sees God, and he recognizes that he's unclean. And what does he recognize as unclean? His lips. And what is it that God must do but bring that purification to his lips? Now stop and think about that for a moment. You know what we're good at? If there was PhD in this, we could probably be working on maybe our second one or maybe our third one. And that is complaining. Oh, we can complain about everything, can't we? We can complain about each other. We can condemn each other. We can look at and we can see, boy, that person's not doing right and that person's not doing right. While we're not doing right either, and have a complaintive attitude. I can go back a few years in my mind, I can stop and think, and I've done the very same thing. But I remember one time we had a work date, and I had two people show up. And one of them looked around and said, well, where's everybody at? Well, we had a work day the week before, and I said, well, where you were last week. I've said that too. Well, where's everybody at? Do you realize that God told... You know when Jesus told Peter he was to what? Feed my sheep. And Peter said, well, what about him? And you know what the Lord said? I'm just going to put it in Springerology tonight. He said, it's none of your business. It's your job to do what I want you to do, feed my sheep. But we're so prone to be complainative. You know what we're doing, brother? When we do those kinds of things, we're not looking at God, we're looking at each other. Now, I guarantee you tonight, when we look at each other, we can find things that are wrong with each other. Amen? I've done it, you've done it. It's possible, it's probable, because there's stuff wrong with us. Have you noticed that there is nobody in this church perfect? We do not allow perfect people to join this church. You didn't know this, but I said, Angela, are you perfect? She said, no, I'm not perfect. Okay, you can join. No, she's not perfect. Nobody is. Are you perfect? So you could be a member here. Amen? You look all pretty tonight with your stuff and your hair and your necklace and earrings and all that stuff. Amen. Look sharp. Amen. What are you laughing at? Look sharp. You know what we normally do? We want to criticize each other. And we look at each other with the wrong intent. And we take our eyes off God. And don't allow our eyes, our focus to be on Him and to see His holiness. and allow Him to touch our mouth because we've seen who we are and what we are. And how we speak. And let Him cleanse us. Did you notice what happens as soon as that took place? He's told about a mission field. Did you see it? He's told about a mission field. And you know what Isaiah says? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. What happened? He saw the holiness of God. He got his lips touched. So rather than complaining, now he's going to go out and do it. Rather than whatever it is we do with our tongue, he's going to go out and tell others about God. Here am I, send me. Amen? Yeah. Matter of fact, God wants you and me to be missionaries to each other too. To be edifiers, to be lifters up. And when we see that which is wrong, not that we point it out, not that we complain, but that we see it as opportunity for ministry. Because God is holy and He wants me to use me. And then to say, thank you, Lord, for those who are in my life who minister back to me. Amen. You folks have no idea how you minister to me. It works both ways. It's a need. Amen. I'm looking straight back at Carrie, right on the back row, sitting there with her ornery little boy. I love ornery boys. You know what? You know when I see a kid like that, you know what I see? Yeah, he can be mischievous. You know what I see? I see somebody that's got some energy. They can be used of God. The channel. Carrie's a blessing to me. She really is. Always got a smile on her face. You know, and I don't think Carrie's ever said a cross word to me ever. Just a blessing. I'm just picking you out. I go to Jenny. Jenny's a great blessing. I've looked at you and I've marveled many times. I think about when Nick used to pray, God, give me a wife. And you came along. You know, and that guy has special needs. And you can meet them. And I don't mean that in a bad sense, Nick. But he does. Huh? Amen. I can zero in tonight and think about the faults of Nick, but I think about a young man who saved my life. Remember when we did this basement down here? If I'd have done all that myself, I'd probably be in the grave now. Nick was here day after day doing man labor. I don't know a young man not afraid of work like him. You young guys, get around him, learn how to work. Amen? I mean, don't do everything he does. Wear a hard hat. If somebody's throwing a log, don't get in front of it. I remember that happening one time. Because he was in it. Listen, you know what I'm trying to say tonight? And we get our eyes on each other and the faults of others and their miscomings and their shortcomings, and I don't know what the word is, rather than on the Lord. Thank God He can change them. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I was kind of teasing Virginia a while ago, but I saw a lady when Mike got sick, so dedicated and so devoted. Once in a while, it drove me nuts. She was just always on those nurses. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that. He'd have probably died 2 years before if she hadn't. You kept him out of heaven for 2 years. No, but serious, I saw that kind of thing. I mean, around the room we can go. It's amazing. I thank God for what God has allowed me to have with you. And when I get in that mode where I want to complain and so forth because I'm looking at you rather than God and seeing you as ministry, as a part of my life, it detracts. Am I making sense? Everybody's sitting there, huh? How we need to see Him and allow Him to do the work in our hearts that we might minister to each other and to a world that's out there that needs us desperately. They need the gospel. Amen? They need the gospel. And you and I, we can give it to them. We have the means. We have the ability. We have the God of all creation that wants to work in and through us. It's there. Let's let Him do it. Amen? Let's let Him do it. Father in heaven tonight, thank You so much. You love us. Thank You, O God, for people who love You. Lord, I know tonight that we're so full of faults and I can find things so easily and criticize. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, we might just keep our eyes upon You. We might allow You to touch that old wicked tongue of ours and to change its words and to purify them, that we might be sent of You to do the wondrous work of God, to give the message that is so wondrous and so great, to be a blessing to the lost and to the saved alike. Oh God, I pray that You'd work in our hearts in this area. Do something in us, oh God. We need that touch from heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.